Hello, I'm Dr. Guy Hatchard of thehatchardreport.com, and today I'll be reading out the text of our oral presentation to the Health Select Committee on the Gene Technology Bill. This took place on Monday. We were allowed 10 minutes, and then New Zealand First MP asked a sympathetic question at the conclusion, enabling me to finish with some unscripted points about the threat to New Zealand's small farmers. And this is the text, and afterwards some reflections on the event. Well, good morning. Thank you, committee members. Since the formulation of the bill, some key scientific papers have been published which upend its fundamental assumptions. I'd like to briefly summarize these in 3 points before taking questions. One, safety. The bill contains an assumption of safety which is not justified by research results. It fails to take account of the possible causes of the rapidly growing incidence of serious illnesses which are overwhelming health systems around the world, including ours. A study published in the journal Food Chemistry Molecular Sciences in 2025 found that residual genetically modified microorganism, or GMM, contamination is present in virtually all food processing products produced via batch fermentation, which is the biotech industry standard. And these contaminants then end up in most of our processed supermarket foods. The study found the alarming presence of cell division promoters, antibiotic genes, and antibiotic resistant genes in all enzymatic products it tested. Inevitable GMM contamination is currently classified as a residue, which does not need any identification on labels because it is not an ingredient, a sort of doublespeak, which is continued by the bill, which sidesteps this recently discovered potentially serious health issue and fails to safeguard or inform the public. Faced with such alarming findings, why would we want to pass a gene technology bill which allows even more tinkering with traditional foods without any red lines or discussion of labelling, traceability, specific safety testing procedures, or liability for inevitable mistakes? Point two, accuracy. The bill is predicated on an assumption of CRISPR accuracy, which is outdated and contrary to recent research results and fundamental science. Most of us imagine that genes are as solid as the world around us, made up of distinct objects which can be swapped if one becomes defective, rather like changing a tire when you have a puncture. This fails to distinguish between genetic structure and function. The very, very small time and distance scales of DNA are completely foreign to our waking world of experience. We have just 20,000 genes controlling trillions of functions. A study entitled Gene Editing of NCF1 Loci has revealed that at this scale, many genes appear almost indistinguishable from one another or homologous. As a result, research shows CRISPR gene scissors begin to cut up, rearrange, or delete genetic chromosomal structures which were not the intended target, causing potential health problems. This is not because CRISPR has been incorrectly programmed, but rather the inevitable result of a fundamental property of micromatter. Point three, efficacy. The bill and its surrounding public relations contains an assumption of efficacy which is not justified by research results. According to the journal Nature, CAR T-cell therapy costs about New Zealand $820,000 per shot. 85% of patients go into initial remission, well done, but only just over half of them are still in remission at the end of the first year. These are in the trials. Long-term results uncertain. A team of attending well-qualified and highly paid doctors is needed to work out how far to push treatment without triggering potentially fatal cytokine release syndrome. The whole situation puts the cost beyond the reach of our public health service, or indeed the public. New Zealand has the second fastest growth rate of bowel cancer in the world, just behind Iceland. As this is the case, Shouldn't our government be prioritizing an education program on lifestyle, exercise, healthy diets, fresh foods, etc.? The costs of such programs are very low, and the research effect sizes of such programs are very large, around 27% risk reduction for colorectal cancer. It doesn't stop with cancer. Benefits affect the entire health spectrum, including a 30% risk reduction for heart disease, for example. Also reduced incidence of inflammatory and autoimmune conditions. In another gene therapy case reported by Nature, Vertex Pharmaceuticals has revealed the full results of a clinical trial of beta thalassemia and sickle cell anemia patients treated with a CRISPR-Cas9-based therapy, which the popular press has wrongly hailed as a successful gene therapy cure. In all, 22 patients have received the treatment so far at a cost of New Zealand $5 million per patient, all of whom initially experienced increased levels of hemoglobin and reduced pain. But after 1 year, only five out of 22 of the patients had any residual beneficial effects. Vertex paid an additional NZD$85 million in patent fees for the license to use CRISPR gene editing techniques. In summary of point three, health improvements are patchy at best, the costs are astronomical and unaffordable, the side effects are very serious, and any benefits mostly don't last very long. Our overall conclusion, gene technology remains an experimental intervention that is known to have a high risk profile for human health and food safety. The genes in our first cell contain the seed of everything that we value in life, intelligence, happiness, and health. No one has any idea how genes support human consciousness, the defining characteristic of life. Modify genes at your peril. Gene modification cannot be contained, recalled, or remediated. The biotechnology industry needs more strict regulation, not less, as the bill proposes. Thank you very much. That was my presentation. And after the hearing, I had these reflections, which are entitled The Limits to Power and the Law of the Land. It was a curious process where the committee members sat passively. They were not required to answer questions or explain their reasons for overriding the public interest and precautionary science. It is extraordinary that the government believes it can adulterate our food choices without any requirement to inform the public what is being done and to what. There is a relationship that we all naturally enjoy with nature. This is not something that should be usurped by ignorant power seekers. Food is a gift of God to man, or, if you prefer it, a gift of the laws of nature, the sun, the soil, the rains, and all that this entails. Our relationship with the land is a sacred trust of care and mutual enrichment. There are countless trillions of embodied creatures or organisms with whom we share the land, the early morning light, life-giving showers, and the spring winds. As Robert Frost famously wrote in his poem, The Gift Outright, something we were withholding made us weak until we found out that it was ourselves we were withholding from our land of living, and forthwith found salvation in surrender. The government is about to make an extraordinary misstep, casting aside natural justice and assuming control of our relationship with nature. They are making an enemy of nature, seeking to alter that which keeps us alive and well. If this goes ahead, time will tell us soon enough we have taken a wrong turn from which there is no safe road to return home. The pandemic should have taught us there is a collective responsibility to oppose the deregulation of biotechnology. Otherwise, we will collectively suffer the consequences. Thank you very much.